For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Welcome to The Clip. Thanks for your support on all our social media platforms, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This week, I'm chatting with the head of an importation gang. His name is Wayne Cleveland, a big wave surfer, a man that had traveled the world. And let me tell you, he has a story of redemption to be told.
Thanks for having me, Simo.
Hey, what's happening there, my man?
Oh, very little sunshine, just enjoying freedom, mate. That's what I'm doing, mate.
Fucking freedom, eh? Isn't it a beautiful thing, brother?
Oh, very underrated, mate, I'm telling you. Until you get it taken away from you, mate, you do not appreciate it.
I hear that you've been surfing some massive waves at ours and getting some absolutely fantastic fucking photos. And, mate, I'm really impressed. I'll tell you what, your balls are fucking huge, brother.
Ah, thanks, mate. I appreciate it. I tell you what, it's good to be back.
Yes.
That's like Dylan Longbottom calls me, the frother. Like a little kid.
You are the frother. Speaking of frothing, let's take you back. For everybody, let's introduce Wayne Cleveland.
Oh, mate, just the average bloke that was just trying to do his best in life.
And, mate, what was your best? I mean, you're a fucking amazing surfer. I truly believe one of the most underrated big wave surfers that there has been, especially from your generation, without doubt. Let's go back to your high school days.
Mate, I grew up in the Housing Commissions of Daceyville. Mate, just went to like my public schools, you know, and like my mum, and she battled through things, mate. So things weren't always given to me. I had to go out and earn things myself at an early age. So, mate, there was no silver spoon there. I'll give you the tip. But, you know, it makes you who you are today, doesn't it?
You always had surfing in your blood, obviously.
I did, mate. I did. To be honest, in my career, I did start a little bit late. You know what I mean? The other boys had kicked off a little bit earlier than what I had, but I came in still very, very, very young age. And, I was like a duck to water, mate.
Here's this young bloke from the Housing Commission, pretty much in the centre of Sydney, or the eastern suburbs of Sydney. You know, a very blue-collar environment around there, hard-working folk back in the day. Mate, your surfing took you to places that opened your eyes up to a lot in the world, obviously, didn't it?
I was saying to a friend the other day, I said, honestly, you wouldn't be dead for quids. I said, but look at this lifestyle. The lifestyle itself is just, that beach lifestyle itself, mate, it's just unbelievable. And it's for free. You go down there, you don't have to pay. Like, obviously, your wetsuit or your surfboard, but, mate, you rock up down that beach, mate, and that's it.
You've got the world at your feet then. Where the fuck did you go wrong from being this, I guess, young fella that had an opportunity probably at the world tour if you were stuck with it? Definitely in a big, big wave sort of stage. I mean, shit, you made a name for yourself over in Hawaii. Yeah. Everybody knows who you are. And you're doing 10 years. Like, what the fuck?
Well, mate, I'll tell you what, mate. I remember a specific situation in my household, right, when I could hear my mum and her partner arguing over bread and milk. Like, where's the fucking money for bread and milk? Like, seriously, when you, mate, you know, that shit resonates. Like, yeah, mate, this is when I'm a little kid. So that sticks in my head like it was yesterday.
Almost, mate, like a trauma.
Oh, it's you call it, yeah, call it a little trauma, because that's what it was, mate. Ever since that day, right, I said, I'll never, ever live like that, where I have to battle for bread and milk. Like, it was hard, mate.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but I wasn't the only person. Don't get me wrong. I'm not out here for a little, oh, fuck, a poor man. None of that bullshit, mate. You know, a lot of us went through it. But,
yeah,
mate, that really resonated with me, right? And then, you know what? I just had these dreams and aspirations, mate. I said, man, I'm going to fucking have whatever I want. I said, and when I have my kids, I said, they will never go without.
What a statement, because I tell you what, you really did do yourself some good, and then obviously ended up real bad.
Well, mate, you know, it's a big statement. The thing is I thought I'm doing the right thing by providing my kids this, the most private schools you can ever possibly imagine, mate. I'm doing everything. I'm flying around the world. They're all business class, mate. Staying in the big hotels, big villas in Bali, mate. We're going to Hawaii, mate. We're going everywhere, mate. Okay, Disneyland, everything. But really, when it come down to the nitty gritty and the fucking crunch, mate, all they wanted was me. You know, all of a sudden, I got taken away for 10 years. Don't worry about the fancy schools and the good shoes and all the mean bullshit.
Shit, mate.
They wanted, mate, was fucking me.
Yep.
And I lost that.
Yep. Take us back, Wayne, to the first time, I guess. You know, where did that come into your world? Like, fuck, 1 minute you're surfing, you're a free spirit. You're out there chasing the adrenaline, the hits of a high coming off a fucking, you know, 20-foot face wave. How does it turn from being that person to sitting in a cell at Long Bay and you and me both fucking going, wow, here we are?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I always had a little bit of dash about me. Even when I was a little kid, always was running the ball up for whatever reason, mate, you know what I mean? And I remember I did this trip to WA, right? And I should go back here a little bit.
Sure.
Right? I've always been a bit of a moneymaker. I remember Jai always go, mate, everything you touch, Wayne, turns to gold. I remember one time when he came and visited me, I said, mate, the gold fingers are gone, son. I said, they're gone. Yeah, mate, I'm just, you know, but I just had a little bit of dash about me. I come up with this little thing, you know what I mean? I kind of thought, oh, well, mate, we can do this, right? Because I seen this could be done, this could be, you know what I mean? I had a few people in the right places, been out at the airport and stuff. I said, mate, so I thought, mate, I had a bit of dash with me, you know, and like it was, you know what, when I did it, this is exactly what I went through in my head. I said, when I'm paddling for a wave at Pipeline, I never hesitated. When I knew I was going that wave, I'm going that wave.
You paddled.
You start hesitating and pulling back,
committed.
You're going to get hurt.
Yep.
Strap the couple of kilos to me, mate, and I could walk through that airport like there was nothing, mate. Eating my In-N-Out burger, mate. I'm stoned as, right? I've just punched 10. I swear to God, mate. Yes, stoned, because that's what worked for me. So the way I figured things is, mate, I'm not going to go in and just do everything unnormal. I used to get stoned all the time. So I went stoned. I'm eating burgers. I've got a couple of kilos fucking strapped to me. Got me board and bag. I'm checked in. I'm just walking through. And the thing is, I never hesitated. I didn't even sweat. A bead of sweat come dripping off my face. I was just that cool, calm and collected, mate. And I did this, mate. I'm telling you, mate. I did it by myself for 8 years straight.
Fuck me dead.
Yeah, but that's how it was. And you know what? And you know, the funny thing is, I wore the same fucking shoes every time, because that's what works. I'm a bit superstitious like I was, mate. And then when I get over, like years later, my mate goes to me, goes, you've been pumping those shoes for like, I said, mate, my favourite shoes. I said, mate, don't fucking know it. And I had this Quicksilver jumper that I wore. Mate, he goes, it's fucking out of date. I said, mate, listen, this is what works for me. This is what goes. Mate, so I did, mate. And I'm not saying nothing that the fucking feds don't know. I'm not going to
say No, absolutely.
They've got everything out anyway, absolutely. Mate. So this rolled on for 16 years, mate. This my little whole gig, it lasted 16, and that's why they come down on me and gave me 16 with a 10. You know what I mean? They went all the way back, and they could see it.
Wow.
You know this had been going on for so long. So mate, every time I pumped that situation, mate, I would pump cones in the car park, have 2.5, maybe 3 kilos if I could get that onto me, right? Okay.
Wow.
Walk in, stone as the bat. Eating In-N-Out burgers, mate, just wrong. Mate, I did, mate. Honestly, I did that, mate, 3 to 5 times a fucking year.
Wow.
Didn't even hesitate. I started pulling back when I started having kids. I said, mate, you know, I really can't afford to get in trouble here.
Yeah.
So I kind of, that's why I got busted as principal. So I just started steering the ship a bit and,
yeah,
he does this and you're doing that. And so everyone had their little job, you know what I mean, what they were doing then, you know?
So... Let's just paint that picture once again. I've just got a fucking visual because I know you and I know that smile on your face and I fucking, it's so infectious, that big grin. And I'm just picturing you coming through somewhere like fucking LA or, you know, wherever it was. And
You know, that's the way it was. Like, I just flipped the switch, and that was me. I come in with my charismatic fucking ordeal, and how are you doing? Well, it's all good. I said, what a beautiful day. I said, how good's this place? I rolled out of LA every time, but that's where it was easy for me to LA straight into city, direct flight, you know. And that's how I come in every time with the same persona, boom, just rolling down, boom, but to be honest, I was really just being me. You know what I mean? I had the little blonde fucking surfy hairdo going, mate. Like I said, stone as a bat. Mate, look at me. Even now, I'm fucking 49. I got no hair here.
Look, you're a handsome man. You're bringing all these kilos in, and, you know, I guess back then you're probably, you know, making 100,000 for yourself, 150,000, something like that.
More than that, mate. More
okay, good. We'll just...
As time goes by, but obviously the price has changed. So I'm picking up something for 16. Back in the day, I'm selling for 120.
16,000 US.
Yeah, so that worked out to be back then about 22,000 Aussie dollars, mate. And then I'm coming in and rolling in and selling for fucking $1.20 all day.
Wow. Mate.
Just no hesitation. I had the same people. They just grabbed it all the time, you know what I mean? So, mate, so you're looking at... So there's 2.5 there, mate. So what are you looking at, mate? There's 240, there's 300 grand, mate. Take off a couple of expenses, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So you go from 300 grand, couple of kilos every trip. So then you start stepping it up a bit, and all of a sudden there's something bigger in the pipeline, and sure as hell, I'm sure there was a fun few times, but there was a real fucked up time where shit went real bad.
Oh, absolutely, and it's. When it goes south, it fucking goes south, especially in this game.
So, real south. Take us real on that journey, mate. It was total national media. It was huge.
Mate, look, I put it this way. When I got pinched, these guys from New Zealand had got pinched, and there was a couple of guys from Canada, mate. They all heard about the pinch in their thing because it was an airport deal, right? So they blocked off like literally half the fucking airport at Sydney Airport. Never been done before. Never been done. They locked that whole thing down. No one could get anywhere.
So was it more the fact that they put undercover agents in? Or, I mean, talk us through it. You know the facts.
Well, no, they didn't have any undercover agents on me, right? It was, they sat on me for 2.5 years. Because by this stage, so I've taken a step back from doing all the runs myself and people are doing all these. Look, everyone gets caught, but everyone got wound up getting caught anyway.
Yeah.
So I've got people working for me now. So, mate, we've got runners, non-stop runners, right? Okay. And then we've got the people at the airport. They're doing their thing. So we start losing a few loads, right? And I'm going, fuck, it's, you know, this ain't right. So I speak to my mate at the airport. He goes, mate, everything seems good. So we sneak a little one in. We sneak a couple through and went, hold on. He goes, mate, hold on. I said, mate, that might have been a lucky find, that last phone.
You said you've lost a couple of loads. So all of a sudden you're missing – kilos that are worth, you know, massive amounts of money. You surely must be looking at who's involved going, hang on a sec here. Someone's robbed us. Someone's fucking doing the wrong by. I mean, take us through it.
Okay. So when they find that first load, right? Okay. So I'm going, I go back to my mate who's the boss at the airport, right, at this stage, or the catering company. I go, mate, what the fuck went down? Rah, rah, rah. He goes, mate, I don't know. I'm not hearing anything. So I go, well, fuck me, Dad. I said, but what could have gone on? And then we've had it happen before, right? And that's what we did, mate. When you dumped the shit in them, right, in there, we waited to the very last, like 20 minutes before the plane was landing, half an hour. Because if you dump it in there too early, it takes up the whole bin. You got some whinging old fucking lady or man, whatever it may be. Oh, mate, the bin's overflowed. So the ladies will come in and clean the bin and put a new bin in there.
Right.
So what you got to do is you got to rip the paper out, fucking throw the paper down the toilet, and then you put in there, you put some paper on top. Because once it starts overflowing, mate, this like serial pest, they're just constantly whinging, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what we thought that had happened. We went, mate, maybe they dumped it in there too early and it overflowed. Because I said, we're not seeing anything out there, mate. There's no new anything, you know what I mean, my mate's telling me. So I'm going, well, fuck, you know, okay then. I said, well, what do you think? So we waited like a couple of months, even 6 weeks. We waited. We're looking, there's nothing. Nothing had changed. So, all right, so we went for another run, right? So boom. We actually sneak a couple through. Yeah, we didn't want to do a big one again, mate, because they've just got, mate, I think they just got about fucking, what, 8, 9 kilos. I said, mate, you know what I mean? So we said, let's just get two through. Let's see what goes on, right? And then all of a sudden we're off. We're sweet. You know what I mean? I said, like, oh, hold on, here, there, you know, but we're okay. Nothing's really changed. So I speak to the boys out there. They go, mate, we've got our eyes open, mate. Nothing's doing, mate. It's fucking dead quiet. I go, well, so my, I kind of went, lucky find. I didn't really think anyone gave us up or anything like that.
Yeah.
But then when we went and got another one, we went and got, I think it was about 6-7 kilos. We've gone for another run at the end. Bam, we get nailed. And that's when I looked at, I said to my mate out there, I said, we're fucking off. I said, mate, we've been doing this from fucking day one together. I said, you know, I said, mate, something ain't right. I said, we're off. And then that's when I started noticing, mate, people walking dogs down the street, fucking cars are parked here and that, you know what I mean? I just, because mine's a one-way street. So yeah. You come down my street and it's like a U-turn,
yeah.
Right? So if you're coming down my street, mate, you're only going back up to the same street where you come from.
Yes.
Yeah. So obviously you've got to live in that street because you're not cutting any corners anywhere.
No.
Mate, people are coming through these cars. I just knew straight away. Then I started seeing people parked in parked cars. So that's when I started noticing. I said, fuck, I said, I'm off. So I got a message to the boys and said, we're fucking off. It's fucking, we're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This day, no one's been arrested, mate. No one's been arrested. So really, they're aiming for me, right? Okay. I'll figure this out later. Obviously, when you get pink, you figure out when you get your brief.
Yes.
So really, what they're doing is all their focus is on me. They've already got the Joe Blows who kind of work at the airport. They've got them pretty much covered. They just, you know what I mean? They're just sitting there. They've got the guys who carried the ship. They've got them on ice. So everybody's sitting there. So and they're waiting for people to do moves or talk or whatever. So we just shut shop. No one talks to fucking no one. No one sees nobody. It's fucking done, right? And then after like 2.5 years, you know, like I noticed, like the first 6 months, I didn't really notice anything. But afterwards, I started noticing all the people in the street. Like I just
right. Said. So there's that much of a gap from the initial going right. That's it. We're off. To the point where you're actually arrested and fucking bail refused. This is quite a period of time.
The dates might be a little bit off here, but like March 13th, 2007, mate, I don't get pinched until fucking September
2009. Wow.
Mate, so they sat there for that long, mate. And then so we, like, they got the first lady in March, something like that, right? Okay, then we sneak a couple through. Then, like a couple of weeks later, they get fucking, like, 7 kilos, right? Okay, they find 7 kilos. Right? And that's when I said, mate, that's when we just shut shop all together, mate. Yeah. So picture that, mate. It's just under 2.5 years, mate.
That's phenomenal. Like, to allow something to continue to drag on for that long, you know, obviously it was a major operation. They believe that, you know, obviously you were involved or heading or, well, I mean, you were charged as principal. So I guess, you know, we can call you the principal. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, well, really, that's exactly what happened. But the thing is, they pretty much had everything covered, but they couldn't really, I was like the cherry on top, but they couldn't get me. You know what I mean? Because there was nothing really, none of the crew had been pinched. No one was saying nothing. No one was saying nothing. And they were just, you know, and when the guy from the airport, the big boss, he kind of left and moved on. He come and fronted me and go, mate, listen, mate, I'm up for an earn. Mate, I want an earn. I said, are you sure about this? I said, mate, I said, they're fucking all over us. I said, you know that. In the same breath as I'm saying this, right, I'm going, fuck it, let's go. Fuck them. This is in my head. This is what I was going. I was going, fuck them, mate. They watch us all they want. Fuck them. We snuck a couple through for. Let's do it again. Fuck them. This is what I'm saying in my head. And he goes, let's go. So he flies over. And then that's when he gets grabbed. And he gets caught September 20th. And then that's when they rounded us all up at the same time.
So he physically got grabbed. Did he have anything on him, on his person?
He'd already dumped it in the toilet.
So, okay, and they knew this.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. So
they watch him follow. They follow him all the way over to the state. They watch him. They see who he meets and everything. Like, that's why at the end, mate, they get us right. And then when, like, years later, like, mate, I'm sitting in jail, mate. I've been in jail for about 4 years. And then they went over and rounded everybody up from the states. They went over and grabbed them.
After you'd been convicted and sentenced? So we're not just talking about, you know, an Australian drug bust. This is a multinational, multi-million dollar operation that they've invested in to bring you down and everybody involved.
After 13 months planning, police have staged the state's biggest ever raid targeting Sydney's alleged drug kings.
31 people have been arrested, among them well-known names. This operation was so big, as I said, we didn't take off a tentacle here, we took out the octopus.
The majority of the charges today will be large commercial supply charges.
And I remember you and I chatting in the yard at Long Bay, and I remember you telling me the door just went fucking boom. They were running in from everywhere. It was a morning, wasn't it? You'd looked out the window or something, and it was just fucking, it was all over.
Mate, I'd got a text message going like, oh, sweet. So I text back, you know, oh, sweet. I said, beautiful. So, you know, I'm up there, you know, I'm in my pyjamas and I'm making juices for the kids. And I look to my left, mate, I just see him, mate, filing down like it's like fucking like an ant's nest, mate. They just come running down. I just went, fuck me. And boom, 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 open the door, you know what I mean? And so we open the door and, mate, they just come fucking running.
And the whole,
in,
the whole family's there, Wayne, as well.
Oh, the whole family's there, mate. The four kids are just sitting there, mate. Just sitting there. And, mate, you know, I got my little baby there. She's like 3 years old at the state time, or just turned four. And she's just, like, they're all, mate, the look on their little faces, mate, you just, that shit, that's what's traumatizing. I still picture every one of their little faces looking, and they're just like, mate, they're dumbfounded, mate. They're poor little kids are just, you know what I mean? And in all honesty, they could have come in very heavy-handed because I got gun charges and that from years ago. Mate, they could have come in kicking the doors in and everything, but they didn't, and they said that.
But this is not your average family home. As Dale predicted, Wayne Cleveland's house is awash with cash. US dollars under the bathroom basin.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of money here. A few thousand dollars at least.
Australian currency under a mattress.
Approximately 10,000 uncounted at the moment.
More in the living room.
Okay, so 6,900
$800
notes.
And further to that, in the cupboard above the main bed.
Inside here, we've got a clip seal bag containing off-white powder.
That was game over for Wayne Cleveland, wasn't it, mate?
So we go outside, I'm in pyjamas, right? And the head guy comes running in. What's his name? I swear to God, he looks like that fucking bloke from The Simpsons. You know, the copper, the little fucking pig nose. Oh, yeah, I swear to God, no, I'm not joking up here. I'm not trying to be nasty. I swear to God, this little fucking fat pig nose little thing comes running in. And he's mouthing off and shit, you know. And I'm at the back. I go, mate, where's your warrant? I said, I want to see the warrant. He goes, well, here you go. And so I mention a name on this warrant. I'm having a cigarette. Mate. I go, who the fuck is that? Like, this is what I say. And he goes, you met her. In March 13th, in 2007, at 9:14, at the Swiss Grand Hotel. Mate, mind you, this is 2.5 years later, mate. This guy just rattled this off. I fucking looked at him, eyeball to eyeball. I just finished a cigarette. I went, fuck, I need another cigarette. So I grabbed another one. He's like, what, something you didn't like there, Clue? Mate, when he said that, mate, I said, fuck, I'm in some fucking bother here.
And you know what? It's funny you say that. I remember the night that I got arrested. So I'm sitting there, the shipping container's there, I've gone to it, I swear to God, there was not a fucking soul in sight. It was a 40-foot container in a fucking full-on commercial, industrial, there was no one there. It was fucking winter. Within 2 minutes of me opening up the shipping container and going in to get to where I needed to be in the shipping container, I'm like, fucking ants. I was hog-tied, zip-tied, fucking GP on my head with a fucking, you know, an automatic pointing me going, you're fucked. You are fucked. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how fucked am I? You know what I mean? And he's going, mate, you're looking at 10 to 20, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, I am fucked. You know where you've been over the 2 years. You know what they would know off what this cocksucker's just said to you.
But the thing is, I still had that fucking arrogance. I really did. But I still had a bit of arrogance about me. Mate, they might have a little bit of dribble and drabble, mate. Because I always crossed every T and dotted every I. But I wasn't certain the people around me, what that they had said, had they talked to each other and everything. So, mate, I was very confident within myself. So I was going, myself, like I said, I still had that little bit of arrogance about me. And then, like the brief come through and you pass your brief around. What do you reckon, mate? You pass it to your close mates,
course.
Like yourself and me, you know what I mean? And a couple of other blokes in there go, mate. You're in a spot of bother here.
Yeah.
So, but what I couldn't do is I couldn't plead guilty because it made everybody else under me guilty, right? And if they pleaded guilty under me, means all of us were guilty. So we all sat together and while we were together and said, listen, mate, we all have to run this together. Well, a couple of them wanted to go to trial. I mean, I didn't want to go to trial because I knew I was fucking gone out of everybody.
Well, the thing is, too, you and I both know, the moment you take it to trial, you lose any reduction whatsoever by putting your hand up and saying you got me because you fucked the court's time over. And your sentences are going to be almost another fucking 25 to 30% on top of what you would have got had you just put your hand up.
100%. But at the same time, I couldn't do it, mate. It makes everyone else underneath me guilty. So what happened was we all got in together. Everyone has got their briefs by this date, and everyone's going, well, hold on here. I don't really want to go to trial. So all the barristers are talking that. And when I got there, they go, mate, no one wants to go to trial here, mate. You've got two guys at the very, very bottom that they want to go to trial. There's one poor bloke, mate. He happened to just be in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So it was just unfortunate. He ended up doing 4 years, the poor bloke. Wow. He happened to be on that plane that the other guy picked it up, mate. His whole gig was he was just rotten duty free. That was it.
Wow.
So he got entangled in our thing, mate. He ended up getting 4 years. So he went to trial. He actually got hung jury the first time and then got found guilty the second time.
Ooh.
But we all end up pleading guilty. You know what I mean? So then we, you know, and we all got our sentences, mate. You
so
know what I mean?
The time's come. Wayne Cleveland's sitting in the dock. It's sentencing day. Family's obviously in the court. People around, the media's all over you. The world's waiting for a fucking a verdict. And, you know, here you go. You're guilty. When you were handed that sentence, those double figures, tell us how you felt.
Well, when it actually went down, you know, like when they said to me, the judge has no hesitation of giving me 21 with a 16. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm. I buckled, mate. I told straight up. I was standing up in the stand. My knees wobbled. Yep. And then everyone in the gallery is just like, like all these noises and gasps and that were going on. And mate, he goes, but because you've pled guilty at the earliest convenience.
That's right.
We're going to give you 16 with a 10. And I went, I'd already done 2 years. Like, I'd done 2 years, like, literally to the day. Like, I'd done 2 years in one day. So I looked at him and went, fuck, I've got 8 years to go, you know. I looked at him, there's people crying and that. And I said, I literally looked at him and I went, hey, what the fuck is crying for? I said, at least I'm out of your hair for another 8 years. it kind of brought a little giggle to everyone's face. But then when I went back downstairs and I was smoking, I was on the water, I was like, mate, smoke. It all came. I went, fuck, another eight. I said, Jesus, because the boy said, how'd you go, Wayne? I went, mate, I got fucking 16 with a 10. And I just went, what the fuck? I said, yeah, mate. So I just went a little bit of soul searching from when I went down and I got held downstairs and then on the truck home. Then when I got back to Long Bay and I was in a nine wing at Long Bay and
yep.
The boys were screaming, what do you know, what happened, Wayne? I said, oh, mate, I got eight to go. At 16 with a 10, I go, how do you feel? And now the next day waking up, I was a bit numb.
Yeah.
You know? I really was. I was sitting on the bed, everyone's coming to make sure that you're all right, you know, and you're all right, mate. Everyone's just sitting there and we're talking and go, mate, you know, mate, all we're going to do now is just kick on with it. And everyone's giving their advice. A lot of older guys, you know, like Bernie Matthews himself, he was there and come in and, you know, yes. More or less, you know, gave him his condolences and, mate, I'm sorry to hear, mate, you know, rah, rah, rah. And I said, mate, we just got to kick on with it. I was very flat that day, but mate, had a sleep. They had a really good sleep that night. And then the next day, mate, I woke up and that was it. Mate, I never thought and went, ah, oh, fucking poor me or whatever. I just kicked on with it, mate, with a smile.
It's funny that feeling, and I don't think people can understand that. Like I remember looking at 10, I was in the court, Soda's at the back, people around me. She's, you know, ready to have our second child because she was pregnant when I got pinched, you know, 4 months. And you know, the judge looks at her and says, you know, he was sending me to 8 years, but with a 25% reduction for an early, ended up with 6 years. And, you know, I just remember, like you said, you know, everyone in the back, oh, man, you know, Soda's just gone, no. And I looked and I thought, you know what? It's not 10 years. It's only a six, you know what I mean? Like, and I went back into this, to my cell and, you know, in the truck. And like you say, you wake up the next day to his, well, it's on. Let's go. This is the first day, or like for you, yep. It was 2 years, or it was for me, it was a year in remand. You've got X amount to go. Okay, Wayne, so you've been given a head sentence of 16 years. Is that correct?
Yep.
You've done 2 years. You've got 8 years to go. How's Wayne Cleveland, father of four beautiful children?
I got one stepson and three beautiful girls, yeah.
Three beautiful girls. How are you going to do these 8 years?
It's like you have to become a chameleon. got to change your colour. You don't have to change to that extent, but you got to switch over, mate. For me, what made me very strong was, mate, I didn't have my head on the outside.
No.
As soon as I got pinched, mate, I just kept my head in there. Obviously, I do with my kids and my family, obviously, but I had my head here. Mate, I can't worry about things that are going on the outside when I'm not out there. It's like me right now having my head back in jail. I'm not in jail. Mate, I'm in the present, mate. I'm in the present right now. And this is what I said about the other day. I'm switching here about where... When we're going, I'm surfing out, mate. And that's why they're calling me the frother. I'm just happy. I said, mate, and I was talking to a bloke today, right? I said, mate, none of those guys has really had any major drama in their life, or they've been taken away from something that they love.
No.
And so I'm coming out just happy as Larry, you know? And so for me, when I was in there, mate, I'm in the moment. And then that's how I did my time. Things would happen and then I'd go, mate, fuck, I wish I could deal with it, but I can't. I'm sitting in there, mate. I'm in there. So the way I roll with it, mate, I said, mate, I did it. I did my best, and I communicated with my kids every single day, mate. If I was out, apart from the lock-ins, obviously, I communicated with my kids. Mate, I had a nice, soft grounding with them. I try to calm them down and let them know everything's all right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I did my time. And you know what I did was I was one of those guys that was the trainer and kept myself healthy.
That's right.
That's what I did. And this is in my head. Okay, honestly, in my head, I treated it like a training camp. That's what I did. I kept on saying to the young boys, they're drifting off white gum and this and the drugs. And I go, mate, this is a time to better your life.
Yeah. And you did lead by example in there in that respect. And I just want to paint a picture for those out there. You know, you've been sentenced to a head sentence of 16 years. You're a father, three very young, beautiful daughters. There comes a time in your sentence where you don't hear from them anymore.
Yep.
I, as a father, hadn't spoken to my son in 4 years from my choices as well. Where does that put you, mate? Where does that put you in those four walls, knowing that every day you're speaking to those beautiful little girls, their dad's girls, they're everything you're living for to come home to, and it just disappears?
Look, mate, it's that gut-wrenching that you unless you go through it, you don't know. You don't. You can go, oh, this and that. But, mate, until you actually go through it, my kids were very good. It was up to the very end, mate. It was up to the very end when things started going a little bit south. You know what I mean? Yep. I still communicated. My middle daughter was there when I came out. You know what I mean? And then once I got out,
it's hard.
It went south.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when I sit down and talk to a mate, I said, you know what the good thing is right here, see, mate, when we bring this up, mate, I'm actually having lunch with my eldest daughter on Monday.
Beautiful.
That's the turnaround, mate. I've seen her once since I've been out. I've been out 11 months now, mate. And for her to see her the other week, and I said, mate, and we talked on the phone, on the, what's that thing you call again when you look on the phone?
The FaceTime.
So, mate, you know, and we're talking, mate, and then we just start off a few things, and we just have to set little boundaries. And I said to her, I said, honey, I said, I'm not coming into your life after 11 years and going, this is how it is. And I said, mate, if you need help, I'm your dad. I'm going to help you. Just guide you a little bit if you need, you know what I mean? So I was lucky in my sentence, in all honesty. Mate, I did. They were with me literally the whole way. It wasn't till the back end, you know what I mean? I did a couple of silly things and said stupid things that I shouldn't have said.
You had a lot of time to ponder, you know, and all those in-and-out burgers and cones in the fucking car park were never worth what you had to go through.
Well, this is the funny thing. That's why I said to you at the very beginning of this, the fancy cars, the business class fucking trips, mate, the big hotels, mate, the villas, mate, you have what you want, the fucking $30,000 a year schools each, mate, they're going to, mate. So, mate, they're all going to school. So, there's 120 straight off the bat just on school fees. Then you've got extra curriculums and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said, mate, that didn't matter back then. To me, it mattered. But to them, they didn't give a shit. All they wanted was their dad. And that's what I said. And then when they come out and go, dad, mate, you don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like. like being pulled away. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I said, you don't know what it's like, mate. I'm not having a dad for 10 years, mate. Like, there's dad things going on with, there's camps going on with dad. It, mate, we didn't have a dad. Like, mate, our dad was away, you know? And I think I'm doing the right thing by having a big house on the hill, doing everything I could possibly can. But, mate, when it comes down to the nitty gritty of stuff, mate, all they wanted was me.
My 21-year-old son says the same thing. I had this comment, and you know my story. I hadn't spoken to my son in the last, you know, 4.5 years. In July, I got to finally hold him, say I love you, and have a real powerful moment with him. And, you know, I did say to you in our conversation, hang in there, brother. Your daughter's going to, you will make, this is going to happen. And here you are. Yep. You're going to have lunch. I couldn't be happier for you. You know, the one thing that I think that any person that's willing to go out there and have a crack, if you want to go out there and live that sort of life, if you've got kids and you've got genuine, pure, unconditional love, you really need to consider that, because the choices that we made and make, and yes, in our hearts and mind, we just want to give them a better life than we ever had. It's not about thinking, what if, how come? It's just purely, fuck yeah, you guys aren't going to ever have to go through the shit I had to go through, fighting and arguing over a loaf of bread and a tin of baked beans. We make a choice, and our choice cost us very valuable years in their life. They would have eaten a loaf of bread and baked beans and known that dad was both there and that dad was there to help them and take them to school and love them. If it came down to now, and I say this now because we've both had to soul search and deal with the years and deal with the emotional side of all this and hear it from our children's perspective as young people now, young adults, you know what I mean? Maybe the fucking loaf of bread and the baked beans just would have been okay. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Everything's good in hindsight.
Yeah.
Everything's good in hindsight, mate.
That's right.
It is, mate. If we all lived in there, mate, no one would be doing any wrong.
That's right.
That's just not the case, mate. You know what I mean? And until you've actually experienced, mate, now you know, mate, the bread and baked beans is absolutely fine. But as long as your kids are sitting there looking at a bit of fish and chips on the beach, looking over there, mate, you know, it was, you know, like, mate, like, oh, like the girls, the look on their face, and when you look at them right in the fucking eye to eye, you know, you just see the sadness.
Absolutely.
You know, you do, mate. You see the sadness in there, mate. And, it, like, even now, mate, it gets me a little bit. My belly gets a bit, you know.
Mate,
like,
the hairs on my arms, you know, are just now standing up, and I'm feeling this overwhelming feeling as we're having this conversation, because, and I'm sure there's many other fathers out there that can relate to what we're talking about now that are listening, and you don't know. Until you've really had to look in the eyes of those little people, your children, and watch just everything that they, you know, idolise just be completely stripped of. Fuck, it even hits me in the heart, mate, because, like yourself, I remember turning, I remember looking, and all I could do was just go, in my head, just go, right, like you said, I can't focus on anything outside of these four walls. Now this is my world. Until that date, this is my world. Yep. Everyone thinks, oh, well, you did the crime and you fucking imported all these drugs and that. Yeah, look, we're not denying. You're not denying. It's the whack. What happened? But it's the roll-on effect after those choices that is truly so impacting. So parole's coming up. Work release has been successful. You're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Wayne Cleveland's walking to the gates. He's about to come out and experience freedom for the first time in 10 years.
That's surreal. The whole thing was absolutely surreal, mate. Because I'm in the holding cage. You got to sign your paper to get out, mate. And then you walk out. You're just like, fuck, mate. All that for this? You know what I mean? I'm looking around. My daughter comes running down. I start welling up. My dad's in the car park, and mate, I just had all these massive, like, my eyes just welled up so much. No tears actually came out. My middle daughter, she come running down, Malia, God bless her, and she, the biggest hugger. And I looked around, I just was like, fucking wow, mate. That was 10 years to the day. Like,
yes, bro.
I was really, you're kind of in shock, but it's surreal.
Isn't it amazing the smell of that salt air, though, when you walk out and you know you weren't far from the beach?
Oh, mate.
You know, the beach is something that has been your saviour in life, going back to your youth. It gave you purpose. It gave you freedom. It gave you a soul. And here you are now, 10 years of your life, your children's life gone.
millions of dollars, parties, fucking plane flights, good times in the past.
Mate, back to reality, mate. And you know what? And I've come down to the smallest, simplest things in life, I fucking love, mate. And that's what I said to a mate yesterday, mate. Or I bumped into a mate when we were surfing out on Monday. I said, mate, and because he asked me, he goes, how do you feel, Wayne? I said, mate, I said, look at the grass. It's greener. Look at the fucking water. It's bluer. The sky's bluer. Look. I said, he goes, wow. I said, mate, you've got a, it's like you've got a new take on life altogether. It's like you're born again. Mate, everything is just new and fresh. And you're just loving everything, mate. I just tell you, like last night I laid in the bath and a mate rang me. He goes, what are you doing? I said, mate, I'm in a bubble bath. He goes, what the fuck? I said, mate, I'm just cherishing everything, mate. It's been 11 months since I've been. I said, mate, I still right now, even if I have a little bit of a day, this is exactly what I do. I sit down and go, how good is this? Like, I'm out. But so that little bad experience that I was having, like, fucking, you know, in with the good, out with the bad, mate. The glass is always half full. The glass is never half empty. The glass is half full. So, mate, I appreciate everything, every little thing, mate. Mate, even now, like some days when it's shitty, I'll just lay on the lounge with my missus, Nick and I, we just kick back and watch a bit of Fox Tube or whatever it is, or whatever the Netflix and shit, mate. Sometimes we don't even leave the house, mate. I love it. Well, that's what I'm doing, mate. I'm just doing the smallest things, mate. And I'm not over trying to overdo things.
And you've gone back to your grassroots, really, haven't you? You've gone back to what truly matters for you in life, and that is a 9-to-5. Well, fucking, you're busting your ass out there. You're out there. Tell us, what are you doing now?
I'm scaffolding.
You're a scaffy.
I realize in my life I need structure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what works for me, mate. Like, but I've got to get up on that. I've got to do this, mate. When I have structure, I'm very good, mate. It's when you don't have anything to do or you don't have nothing. That's when you become loose. Someone rings you up and, I've got things to do, mate. I can't do that because I've got this over here to do. See, mate, I'm not having drinks and partying and carrying on a pork chop anymore.
No. But structure is a key.
And I love it.
You love it. That's the whole thing, mate.
This is what I tell people, mate, when they come out. I say, mate, get some fucking structure in your life. I say, I'm telling you, mate, you're better for it. Once you have that structure and you have things to do, that you've got to get up and fucking be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning. You've got to do it, mate. It works, mate.
Yeah.
Well, it works for me, and I know it works for other people because I've seen it, mate. You've got to have purpose, mate. You just can't be another little floater rounder. Like, before I had purpose, I had the kids out, but I didn't really have anything, mate. I didn't really have any drive anyway. Mate, like, honestly, when I was a kid, I set these goals. People go, you're going to have goals. So I set all these goals, mate. I swear to God, by the age of 25, mate, I achieved every freaking goal that I'd aimed for.
Yeah.
I had nothing, mate. And then I just started partying like a fucking rock star. Don't get me wrong, I partied through those years too, but I was bored with everything. I was bored.
Isn't it funny? When you hit that fucking pinnacle, you've counted your first meal, you've fucking travelled the world, you've snorted the best coke in the fucking world, you've seen the absolute way it all works and all that. There's no wow factor to any of it. It's like, And realistically, there's one of two ways you're going to go. It's either dead or in jail.
Yep.
And these are the cold, hard facts. It doesn't matter who the fuck you are. You can be the kingpin or whatever. Mate, the ride's great while you're on the ride. But once it all stops, all the fucking people that you think are your buddies that you've fucking shouted meals, put fucking rack up in front of, partied with, mate, things that you've done, things, yeah, we're brothers. Like this, it all just vanishes. And you know what? You're left with fucking maybe one or two true people who really appreciate you. You, Wayne Cleveland, I honest to God, and I'm not pissing in your pocket, there are very, very few men like you, and I have nothing but love and respect for you. And, you know, this is not about getting you on here to fucking pump you up. This is about sharing your story and your road of redemption, because you do go down in fucking Australian history on that scale of importation. You're a part of a fucking massive operation, and you've come out the other side of it. And this is the part of the clink. Coming through adversity, coming through times where a lot of people would have buckled, mate. And fuck it, you know, to be given what you were given, having a family there, mate,
That's a tough call. It's a very fine line, but you stayed staunch. You held your own. You put your hand up. You owned it, and you've come out, and the weight's off your shoulders. Only a week ago, Wayne Cleveland sitting in a lineup with some other amazing athletes, and he's a fucking all athletes because I tell you now, the balls you've got are huge. And they're surfing a surf spot just off the Botany Bay area.
Mate, yeah, Kurnell.
And it's called Ours. This wave will chew you up, spit you out, and fucking just... you'll go back over the cheese grater again and again and again. That's if you hang in there and you come out. Wayne has some photos that are up on his platforms and social media and everywhere at the moment that is just mind-blowing. And I look at it, Wayne, and I look at your face, and I see this. Most people would be just in fear of seeing that wave. You're in these barrels. There's nothing but a massive big fucking cliff in front of you and a dry reef. You come off, you're gone. You're going to fucking eat shit. It'd be worse than getting jumped by 10 blokes in the shower. You're gone. But here you are hanging on, mate, and coming, punching out of these fucking massive walls of water. And just this, I just see this steel frame and the joy on your face. And I'm actually inspired by that because I just think, man, that's a proud, happy man.
Well, 100%, mate. You said it literally word for word, mate. But, mate, I've got the best timing, mate, Dylan Longbottom. Mate, the guy's a fucking freak, mate.
I know him. He's a fucking champion. Oh, Dylan, he's a legend. Mate. He's looked after me too.
Oh, mate, he's a dead set legend, mate. He rings me up, mate. I'm here, get here. So I'm already standing at Ours, fly down to the boat ramp. There, me and him take off. I've got Tim Bonython, the swell chaser, mate. He's just there for me. And I'm looking at Tim Point going, mate, it's good to be a fucking live. I said, wow. Mate, you wouldn't be dead for me. I said, look at this shit. Fly around there, and Dill goes, do you want to have a look at one or two? Wayne? I said, mate, let's just get out there. Boom, straight out there. First set comes through, mate. He just whips me straight in, mate. The guy's a legend, mate. He whipped me. We got like six waves before anyone even got one, right?
Listen to you on the froth. Right? You're like a little kid. Oh, so good.
That's why he was calling me the froth master, right? And so, don't worry. You get your breakdowns. That on Monday, three people went to fucking hospital. There was five snap boards and eight snap leg rights, mate. Mate, I got beat down. Like I've got a little cat scratch here, mate. That's my ankle and my foot here is just being shredded, mate. Every time I got beat down, mate, that's why I said to the boys, I said, mate, I got treated like a redheaded stepchild. I said, I swear to you, God, mate. Oh, mate, it just ragdolls you, mate. You know what I mean?
The
joy, mate. When I was coming out, like you said, the fucking joy. Mate, I was just all teeth. And everyone can see that.
Looked...
And people that don't know me, yeah. People that were probably sitting out there from wherever they were from on the other jetty and stuff like that, they're going, who the fuck is this lunatic? What's he going on so much about? Then other people would tell, give him a little bit of a rundown. And they go, no wonder the bloke is so happy, mate. It's just, mate, exhilarating, mate. You're alive.
Let me ask you, if there's one verse, one paragraph, just a sentence that inspires you daily that you would put out there for somebody that's struggling, that's going through tough times or, feeling like there's no real light at the end of their tunnel, what would you say, bro?
Well, see, the same for me that I've always, this is what I've always said to me. Always be true to yourself. Once you're true to yourself, look, mate, at the end of the day, no one is going to treat you better than you. Mate, you're going to have all your loved ones around me and everything like that. When it comes down to it, it comes down to you, okay? Only you are going to treat you better. Mate, there's no one, like I said, they're going to have loved ones around you, all you fucking want, mate, everyone, whatever, whoever you are, mate, But once you get down to the nitty gritty of everything, it's about you and you. That's it. So I always, mate, I like to wake up and look at myself in the mirror and just go, mate, what you see is what you get, mate. It's fucking black and white. There's no gray areas with me. So the one thing is, mate, be true to yourself, mate. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah, beautiful.
Be kind to yourself, mate. Just take a step back. If there's a tough day, there's always someone out there that loves you, mate. Lately, the amount of phone calls that I've done with boys lately, mate, to make sure that they're okay, everybody struggles in their own way. It might be very insignificant to you or your drama, but to them, it's
huge.
Fucking major in their life.
Yep.
Mate, that's a major thing in there. But you can sit that back or we kind of go, oh, mate, fuck it, come on, turn it up, mate. That's nothing. But in their life, that's huge. Major. So you know, you see, we always, mate, everything's about, you got to help your mates, especially when we all get a little bit older, there's breakups and things happen, mate. Just be there for one another too.
Wayne, I've got to say, mate, look, it's an absolute honour to sit here and have this conversation and have your story of redemption on The Clink.
Mate, see, mate, love you, mate. You know that, buddy. The Clink, mate, I can't thank you guys for having me on, mate. And anytime you want me back, mate, I'd love to help you guys, mate. And if there's anybody else that out there who needs help, mate, jump on me Instagram page, Wayne Cleveland. Hit me up, mate. I'll give you a call, mate. I'm telling you, mate, life ain't that tough. Mate, there's always someone there to help you.
What a man. Unbelievable to have done that many years jail, come out and have a story of redemption like Wayne. All I can say, mate, is I wish you well from The Clink and I hope that everything is successful from here on in out now. Next week, we're talking to Richie Vass, big wave surfer, underrated UFC fighter.
Oh, nice shot by Richie Vass. Staying in range, landing his jabs like he should.
And a winner by split decision and new CA Bantamweight champion, Richie Vass.
Richie Vass.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. For the record, lab on me going all the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste.
Stop calling.
For the record, 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 for the record.
Want to thank a new sponsor who's just come on board, Dr. Pickles Tattoo Aftercare and Lifestyle Products. They're made in Brisbane and are known right around the world. They have this amazing balm. It's called the Original Tattoo Balm. You seal and protect your tattoo with the OG. I've just been using it on my leg after I had it done, and I tell you now, my skin feels amazing and there's a great shine to it. They also have an antiseptic spray you can spray on and wipe over your tattoo to keep it nice and clean so you don't get any infections. They've got a 3-in-1 wash. It's all natural, smells great, packed full of peppermint, citrus, and wait for it, hemp oils. How good's that? Plus, they have a SPF 50 sunscreen, which acts as a moisturizer as well as protecting your tattoos from fading and stop them from getting sun damage. Right now, though, for the Clink listeners, they're offering 15% off with the code CLINK. Just head to drpickles.com. That's drpickles.com.